Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Monday, September 9th, and this is Foxology Today. I'm Silver Ray Fox, your host, and I know that some of you are just getting back into the saddle after a little holiday vacay from last week. Wow, can you believe it? It's September already, and it is almost halfway over. Wow. Ooh, looks like Thanksgiving and Christmas are just around the corner. Ooh, time flies when you're having fun. And when you're not, so it makes sense to have as much fun as possible while you're on this ride. You think so? I do. So let's all settle up and get on our way to our various destinations and goals and aspirations and dreams. Sounds like a great plan to me. And you know what else is a great plan? Self-improvement. I think it's a good idea to always look for reasons and ways to be better, and I always say the best reason is just do it for yourself. It just feels good to take better care of yourself and to do better things, think better thoughts, see life better, but particularly working on being better within and better on the outside too. You can feel like a winner and the king or the queen that you are when you do that. Well, I have the honor of talking with someone today who knows all about that, feeling like royalty, getting better, and developing a winning attitude for life. She's Karen Arrington, the founder of the Miss Black USA pageant. Karen has dedicated her life to bringing out the better in young women so that they can live better lives. And she's done that for countless numbers of young women across America. And I want to thank you so much. I'm so excited to talk to you. Welcome to the Foxology Today stage, Karen.
Thank you very much, Queen.
Well, I feel like one. I do. I have to admit
it. You certainly are. You're the queen of Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, well, okay. I'm going to go with that, and thank you very much.
That's
right. Well, again, I thank you so much for taking time out of the busy schedule life of someone who is doing as much as you do. I am telling you, you are busy, girl, but you're busy making stuff happen and really making a difference as well. I know you're just coming off of another great pageant with another awesome winner, and I suppose you're still in catching your breath mode. Am I right?
No. In fact, the very next day, we start anew. We start all over again. So the work does not end or stop.
No catching your breath on this ride, huh?
No catching breath, not at all.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Well, you're in your second wind, or I don't know how many wins at this point, but that's awesome. Well, let's start talking about a few things about you, because I say this often about my guests. When you take on life by the horns and enormous and special projects like this, I always know that there's a reason, Karen, somewhere in your history, I know that the inspiration came from someplace. So would you tell us about that and how you launched into this project?
Absolutely. Growing up, in the early 70s, I often reflected on those African-American heroes that came before us. I mean, Rosa Parks, Zora Neale Hurston, Harriet Truman, and I was inspired by these women. But then at the same time, when I opened up magazines or turned on the television, I didn't see women that looked like me. And, of course, at a young girl's age, self-esteem is really important and really critical. And that's when we form our identities and who we are, and we begin to embrace ourselves, to love ourselves. So self-esteem at an early age is very important. And so I saw an opportunity to create a platform or a national stage for women of color to be able to celebrate their identity and to celebrate their unique traits, which, of course, as I said, I didn't see in mainstream media. So it was an opportunity to not only to prepare them to compete and win on stage, but also to prepare and to allow them to prepare and compete in life. So it was a great opportunity, and I had no idea that some 20 plus years later it would have evolved into this national movement.
Well, it has, and it's phenomenal. But tell us about the initial kickoff, the startup. I know that had to be. I know having a vision is so important, and yours had to have been very crystal clear by what you have just described. But I know once you start putting those nuts and bolts together, it can be more than a notion. And I'm only bringing that up to share with people. When you have a vision, it just doesn't all of a sudden just pop up and there you have it. Tell people what you had to do to get this going, and you know, getting people on board, buy in, and sponsors and things like that.
Well, I tell you, it's still an ongoing process. It seems like it never ends. But starting out, you know, of course you have a vision, and the most important thing, of course, it's one thing to have a word, but it's another thing to combine that with action. And so I decided, let me take small steps initially, because first of all, I didn't have the background and experience to put on anything like this. I mean, I didn't have a degree in business. My background was journalism when I created Miss Black USA. So I thought, okay, but what I knew that this had to be about was it had to be about the women that it was created for. So I sort of set the stage and set sort of the mission based around them, knowing that, one, we wanted to celebrate who they are as Black women. You know, two, we wanted it to be a vehicle to launch into other careers. So it would be a stepping stone for other opportunities in life. And then thirdly, we knew that it was solely focused on young African-American women who were, at that time, disadvantaged, did not have the same opportunities as their white counterparts. And, of course, for women who also were looking to pursue academic careers or scholarships to further their academic careers. So I focused on those three things, and that pretty much made it really, not, I would say really easy, but somewhat easy to start anyway as a first step. So I contacted radio stations around the country, you know, of course, stations that target, you know, minority populations. And they partnered with me, which was great because now I had all this free advertising, and we were able to reach a lot of African American women because, of course, at that time I didn't have a budget, a real marketing or PR budget. So the radio station promoted the event, and then we went around. We actually, it was so funny because me and another girl, we actually had a briefcase. We had a briefcase, and we would travel like from city to city. With this briefcase with a crown and a sash in it. And so we would go to these various cities, and the radio stations would, you know, of course, would select the judges in the respective cities, and we would actually go in, and someone would be crowned that day, and then she would come to nationals. Well, since that time, we've actually evolved where we have now state pageant systems and state directors to do that. But so it started off as a small partnership with radio stations. Eventually evolved to having state directors, and now, of course, I mean, it has tremendously grown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What a beautiful story. Well, tell us about so many of the incredible benefits there are for contestants. You can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I think the average young woman, when she looks at the opportunity to participate in a pageant, of course, her main goal is that she wants to win. She wants to become Miss Black USA. But we know that there are so many benefits to embarking on this as an endeavor for personal growth and development. And I'd like for you to give everybody the insight on what this does for the average young woman. Of course, yeah, you want to win, but you win regardless, in my opinion. So tell us all of the inside benefits to participating in your program.
And I appreciate you asking that question, because there are tremendous benefits, and there are benefits that aren't seen. I have women who competed 20 years ago, and they'll call me up and say, I'm on my way to the hospital, you know, I'm in labor. Or they'll call and say, I just got this job at the White House. And I'm so thankful. Some of the lessons and skill sets that you taught us when I competed, you know, 10 years ago, because they truly have helped me today. And things like, for example, we don't think about this oftentimes, but on social media, I mean, when we talk about posting pictures that are inappropriate, I mean, as you know, I mean, employers now look at your social media sites before they even hire you. So a lot of the lessons that are taught to these young women and the skills and the leadership skills that they develop in promoting their state platforms, it's opened up so many doors for them. I tell you, but first and foremost, I think that what's so, so important is that they have an opportunity to redefine who they are as Black women, as opposed to the media, mainstream media, telling them what they should look like and how they should act, you know, and who they are. One interesting thing that happened in 2007, we celebrated our 20-year anniversary, and we took the pageant to Africa. We took a royal journey to Africa. I mean, and I personally thought there's no better way to celebrate who we are than the return to our ancestral home. And the amazing thing about this royal journey, voyage to the motherland, was that so many young women were told, don't go. And they were told don't go because of many of the stereotypes that, you know, we're fed about Africa, you know, here in the U.S. When these young women landed on African soil, there was a runway full of Hummer limousines waiting to pick them up. I mean, you would have thought the Queen of England was there in Africa. And these young women, it changed their lives. I mean, they truly identified and had an opportunity to see their resiliency. I mean, all of the unique traits that we have as African-American women. I mean, when you see women walking miles with baskets on their heads, you know, and no water inside, and they still have a smile on their face, it really gives you an opportunity to appreciate that you have a strength inside you that you don't even realize that you have. And in the U.S., we take so much for granted, and we sort of have assimilated into a culture that's not really our own. So being able to sort of reintroduce ourselves to that culture is truly significant. Now, Oprah recently was quoted as saying that the greatest fallacy on earth is not that you can be who you want to be, but you can only be who you were meant to be. And so that's very significant, because as you mentioned, you know, the girls go into this thing, you know, I'm going in to win. But we know that there can only be one winner. But what you have to do is go into this and say, first of all, I'm not competing against my sister queens, I'm competing against myself. And it's not about the crown on my head, but it's about the crown in my heart. And you take the opportunity that you have to give back to your community, to, of course, as I said, to allow doors to open for you that would not open for you otherwise if you didn't have the title. And we have so many success stories, and I'm not talking about, you know, just our national winners, but I'm talking about our state queens. I mean, girls, you know, we have girls who grew up in some of the worst communities, girls who've been sexually abused, And they're now in powerful positions, you know, in media or medicine or education or entertainment. So they were able to pull from some of their experiences, which really truly helped to prepare them, you know, for their sort of their next level life. And it's truly something that, you know, as I said, many of the young women will tell you it's life-changing. They have a greater sense of who they are as Black women. They have a they have this confidence now that they didn't have previously. And I always say that, you know, confidence, of course, is the new Black. And before a woman arrives on the scene, her confidence needs to arise first. And that really says something about each of these young women. And then the other piece that I found interesting is that traditionally when we started, the young women were mainly undergraduate students. And they needed financial aid to continue, or scholarships to continue their education. Well, today, 80% of our contestants are in graduate or professional school. Last year, we had a practicing attorney, a practicing physician. So these are the young, powerful Black women that we see, and they're not elitist. I mean, these are the same women that, you know, as I said, you know, grew up in impoverished communities, you know, who, you know, were could have been sexually abused, have experienced domestic violence, have experienced all kinds of traumatic events in their lives, but they were able to overcome them. And that's what being in a pageant system like Miss Black USA can do for you. It really prepares you for your next level life.
I think it's so important that you shared all of that, because I want people to know, parents, young girls and women who do have this aspiration, to understand that the pre-qualifications is just that you are a girl, and the potential to go anywhere with that is there. And that is just so phenomenal. If they can understand, like you said, it's not just about wearing a crown on your head, it's the one that you put on yourself in your own heart, to believe in yourself and know that you can blossom into this person that you never imagined through an experience like this. It's just phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us about some of the workshops and things that you do put your girls through? I know it may be a little bit different from state to state, but there are probably some similarities. Just to, you know, name a few, identify a few of those areas that you begin the development in.
Absolutely. And, you know, several years ago, we began working with our girls a year in advance before they came to nationals. So once they were selected as a state queen, we begin working with them, and we have, like, monthly conference calls. We have contests, and we have specific requirements for them. And some of them include, for example, many of the girls, when they come in, some of them have never had professional photo shoots. Some of them have never even seen themselves, you know, in media or on video. So these are some of the resources and tools that we bring to them and they bring to life. So we have them, for example, create their own video promos, and then we post those online on YouTube. And I can tell you, some of them will send them, and I will send them back and say, this is unacceptable. And why it's unacceptable? Because I know their potential. And, of course, we always want to raise the bar. And it's just, and I'm always excited when I see when we give them something to do and they far exceed our expectations. And that lets us all know that they have this queen in them, that they have this inner swan, they have this inner Michelle Obama, and we just need to bring it out. And that's in each and every one of them. So we spend a year working with them with just that. And, you know, and as you know, service is the heart and soul of Miss Black USA. I strongly believe that it shouldn't be an option, but it's a requirement that we give back to our communities. So every single girl has to develop a platform, whether it's diabetes awareness, bullying, you know, raising awareness about sickle cell or heart disease. They have to develop a platform, and they have to actively spend 1 year in their community raising awareness of this platform, in addition to the two platforms that we have on a national level. So they gain public speaking skills. And as I said, by spending a year, you know, sort of advocating on behalf of, you know, an issue that impacts the African-American community, they develop these skills, and so, and as I said before, it prepares them for that next level life. It prepares them beyond the stage and beyond the pageant that night. And that's why many of them, when they finish or the day after that pageant, they're ready to pursue, you know, professional speaking careers, you know. They're ready oftentimes to go into, you know, professional positions, that, you know, again, because of that experience that they would not have had otherwise. So so those are some of the types of things we do. We do a lot of training on, you know, public speaking. We do, of course, we do training on self-esteem. We do training on, you know, your best presentation, poise, power, and packaging. And so those are key elements, you know, no matter what field you pursue, that you really need to have in order to stand out against the rest.
So when the girls come to you to enter into the launch of going into the local pageants, are you saying all of that's available to them at that time, or it's once the queens have been crowned in each state that they enter into your year-long program?
No, that's available to them at that time. And the reason it's available to them at that time, there was a time when it was not available. But it's available to them at that time because what we know now is that we don't know who's going to win. So whoever wins has to be prepared to be able to speak to the media the next day, you know, after she wins that crown.
Mm-hmm,
so we prepare
mm-hmm.
all of the young women so that whomever wins can hit the ground running as Miss Black, whatever her state title is, or Miss Black USA.
Can you talk to us about the actual breakdown of the competition and how the girls need to think about preparing for each of those, the talent particularly I'm interested in, because I know there's got to be some that are probably more feasible. And let's say a girl doesn't have talent in the sense of what we think of music and acting and other type of presentations. What kinds of things should they consider?
You know, probably one of the most rewarding aspects of a competition is the talent competition. And it's the one piece that really has you in tears. Because these young women will come in and many of them will say, I don't have a talent. And, you know, as I said, you have a talent. It just has not been brought out. You know, it's just like you being a diamond. You know, a diamond needs to be shined, you know, before it can actually shine. And so we take these young women, and as I said, you know, we mine them and shine them. And so by the time they get on that stage, I mean, they are powerhouses. You know, they are forces to be reckoned with. And so I don't know a single Black girl that doesn't have talent. You know, and I've been doing this, as I said, as you know, for over 25 years. I haven't met one that doesn't have talent. And that's one of the unique traits about us. I mean, when you go back, as I said, back to Africa, Black women know how to do a whole lot of balancing. You know, we know how to get things done. So so you have talent, but we do have, for example, you'll find women who will play musical instruments. And I'm always amazed, you know, that even in the midst of, you know, some of the traumatic experiences that they've had and even growing up in some of the worst communities, one thing that's so amazing to me is the Black mothers, how they still work with these young Black girls. And so I'm always amazed that they still, you know, work on molding them to prepare them to be phenomenal young Black women. But they come and they play musical instruments. We have dancers. And even though we have singers, incredible singers, and even if a girl feels like, well, I can't sing, I can't dance, and, you know, and I can't, you know, play a musical instrument, then she can always do some type of dramatic monologue. And, you know, as I said, growing up, I often reflected on, you know, a lot of those African-American heroes reading literature. And so you can look at, you know, some of these amazing pieces that were written by some of, you know, the Dora Neale Hurstons, you know, and even Langston Hughes had some powerful pieces, and Nikki Giovanni. I mean, when you look at some of those pieces and you bring that to a stage, it's so powerful, and that's what we will see these young women do, especially those who feel like, well, I don't have a talent, and when they when they bring it, I mean, they really bring it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the evening gown certainly plays a big role in the competition as well. Are the girls limited in any kind of way in their creativity as far as design? Tell us about what you tell them about that, or the cans in the cans as far as that, because we know there's every, you can go to every extreme these days with gown presentation. So what are some of the guidelines you give your girls?
We allow them to be themselves, just like we do with hair. And I mean, we have girls who have natural hair. We have girls who come in with braids, you know. So we allow them to use their own creativity to express themselves. So we don't give them any real guidelines. I mean, they know it's an evening gown competition, but it's all about expressing your own unique individuality. And we do have also personal fitness is a part of the competition. And then the on-stage interview. And I can tell you that evening gown and personal fitness do not weigh as much as talent in the on-stage question. And there's a reason for that. I mean, because, again, as I said, you know, Black women naturally have talent. Black women are naturally gifted and poised as well. So those are things that we know that we can always bring out in them. But we know as a state queen, we know that one way for them to connect to our communities is through performance, you know, their talent, and also being able to articulate a message. So that's why we put the emphasis on, you know, the on-stage interview and also the talent competition. But evening gown, I mean, they come in some of the most amazing gowns, which you can see pictures of them on our website, of course, but we do not restrict them in any way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that the judges must have the most incredible time. It's got to be the hardest thing because there's so, as you said, so many beautiful, talented young women. Tell us how the scoring adds up.
Well, I don't have specific numbers, and I always hate to be quoted, so I always tell everyone, go to our website at www.missblackusa.org and see the criteria. But generally, I know, like, for example, in some cases, evening gown may be worth 15%, fitness may be worth 15%, and then talent may be 35%, and on-stage question may be 35%. So it ends up being 100%, you know, total percent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it really truly is a numbers game. And as you said, the judges have a tough job. But what's interesting, and many people don't realize this, but when you're judging a competition like this and each girl comes out individually, one of the things that we make clear to our judges is, one, there's no talking because we don't want them to think that they, you know, that, or even give the impression that there's any comparison, you know, comparing one girl to the other. We don't have them write down notes that they can refer back to. We want your first impression. So when that girl comes out on that stage, what you get is, you know, is what you're going to, whatever you see is what you're going to score. And so it really is about scoring the individual person and not comparing one girl to the other. And that's why we say to the girls, you know, you're not competing against your other sister queens. You're competing against yourself. And in the end, it's still subjective. And I'll give you an example for this year. When we finished our preliminary competition, which determines our top 15 finalists, we had one girl who was actually ranked number one. But then on finals night, once our 15 finalists performed and started all over again, this young woman didn't even make top five. So that really tells you that it is a numbers game, and that it's anybody's game, and that it could be any particular contestant at any particular time. So we may hold a competition tonight and have one winner. We may hold it tonight and somebody else would have, you know, might end up with the top, you know, position. But we also say as well that, you know, the title of Miss Black USA is not really about someone being better than everyone else. It's really about someone else carrying the torch, because we work with all of the girls for a year. And now the torch has been passed on to the winner to continue the message, to continue the movement in our community.
You know, I love all of your ethics for business and your mission and the encouragement that you provide and the wonderful education these girls are getting out of this. But I'm wondering about something else, because you, year after year, have quite a few women that don't win this national title. How do they handle their it has to be a little disappointing, of course, after all of that work, because everybody believes they're going to win. How do you help them handle it, and how do you handle it, Karen?
Oh, that's a tough, it used to be a tough question, and it used to be tough for the girls, because as you said, you know, I mean, they are disappointed, and naturally so. Anytime you go after something, especially when you see how hard these young women work towards it, I mean, they make a lot of sacrifices, you know, to get on that stage, and they want to walk away with that title. But here's something I think that happened in what I talked to them about from day one. It's not what happens to you in life, but how you respond that matters. So it's not what happens to you in life, but how you respond that matters. How you respond reveals who you are. So when you get on, and even though it's disappointing, remember how you respond after that event is over tells us a lot about who you are. And that's what I get so teary-eyed and so excited about, is when I see the class, you know, in the high road that these women demonstrate after the event, after one of their sister queens is crowned. I mean, they embrace her with lots of sisterly love. And while they may be disappointed, one of the things that they recognize is that, you know, God didn't deny them. He just delayed what he has in store for them, and he always has something greater and better.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that it has to be in their heart that I have become such a better person through this experience that I know that I'm a winner anyway. Based on the things that you've shared, wow, every girl has to feel like she's a queen, whether she has the crown or not.
Absolutely. And she knows it doesn't stop there. That's another thing. I mean, many people think that, oh, well, the competition was last night and I didn't win, so now I go back to being, you know, like, you know, whomever. But that's not what happens. What happens is they now begin to walk into the next chapter of their lives, whatever they know, whatever they believe that God has in store for them. So they take what they've gained through that whole year of service of their reign, and they now infuse all of that and pour it all into the next chapter of their lives. So they all of a sudden get really excited and get busy preparing for that.
I know that this kind of experience you never go back from. Earlier in my career in teaching in modeling schools, I trained many pageant contestants. It's not the kind of experience that you ever let go of, because it enhances who you are so much. And you really have evolved into something that there's no turning back or turning around. Once you realize how wonderful you are, you don't want to be anything else but wonderful. That's something
Absolutely.
That I know for sure. That's something I know positively.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I experienced that myself. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say I experienced that myself. I mean, I was in teenage pageants. So my very first teenage pageant, I placed, I think, third runner-up. And but the sisterhood was just totally incredible. And that was one of the, I think, probably the greatest benefit that I received in addition to, of course, you know, increasing my self-esteem, but the greatest benefit was the sisterhood. And, you know, I hate to tell people this, you know, because Susanna tells you how old I am, but, I mean, the young women that I competed with at age 14, I'm telling you, like 30-plus some odd years later, they are my best friends today. I mean, truly, we experience all of our life events together. It's just truly amazing.
It really is. It really is. Well, you just spoke about something I wanted to ask about, Karen. You started at 14, which to me is a good age. I mean, that those early teens is a great age to begin self-discovery and the kind of experience that a pageant can offer. But let's talk about some of those pageants that are for tiny tots. I'd really love to have your thoughts on what you think about some of the little girl pageants.
Well, I have mixed thoughts on it because every pageant system is not the same. And certainly Miss Black USA is an example of that. But there are some pageants I think that are really extreme. And they push girls beyond they're actually ready. So if you're looking for a pageant system for a young girl, you want to look for a system, you know, that actually helps, one, to celebrate them. For example, I don't believe that at 5 or 6 years old, girls should actually compete against one another as in a pageant system. I think it sends the wrong message. I think that what they should do is they can compete, they can participate in a pageant, but a pageant really that kind of helps increase their self-esteem, you know, and self-development and really mold. That's what my pageant system was about when I was 14 years old. And that's why these young women are my best friends today. I mean, the young woman who actually won at that time, I'll never forget me looking at her, even though we were competing, me looking at her and she's saying on stage, I will one day be an attorney. Well, you know, that was huge in the early 70s for a black woman to say that I will one day become an attorney. And this woman is a judge today. I mean, so it just tells you that how we can really pull from each other. And as a young girl, that's what you want her to be able to do, is to see other girls, of course, who look like her, but not feel that she's better. And I think that that's what some of these pageants, some of the extreme pageants will actually do. And that's unfortunate. But we also have a princess program for young girls 5 to 10 years old. And the princess program is really more of a mentoring program, but yet it also gives the young girl, I mean, they're little princesses, they get to go out in the community, make appearances, so we're also helping them to develop public speaking skills. They have an opportunity to perform, but they're not competing against one another. So I would highly recommend a program like that, and you certainly, of course, can find out about that on our website as well.
That is wonderful advice. The thing that I think is a little bit tough for girls, and the message that it sends across is when we see these pageants with these 4, 5, 6-year-old, 7-year-old girls who have the full makeup and the eyelashes and the lipstick. I mean, and all of that is just, you know, I personally just feel it's a little, well, professionally too, feel like it's a little bit much. I do believe it takes away from the real essence of what you wanting to teach your little girl about being a girl for life. And I agree with you that when you create a platform where the spotlight is on them, because you're a little girl, because you're pretty, because you can wear a really beautiful dress, and if you've got a talent that you can show people on the at church or wherever the little pageant is being held, I think that that is what helps the self-esteem zoom in a child, you know, of that age. But I really have my, every time I've seen those shows, and I can't tell you ever that I've watched one in its entirety, and probably most of what I've seen have been on clips from entertainment shows showing these little girls, but it breaks my heart every time I see one being pushed out there, and then backstage the mom is yelling at them and they're crying because they don't understand what they're doing in the first place with all this makeup and stuff on. They don't know why that's all happening, you know. So yeah. The message and the mission, both in my opinion, are just really off target. There is really no great benefit in the fact that the parents themselves are not, you know, promoting something positive and self-esteem, because you're yelling at your kid because you think some other little girl looked better or walked better or did her little spin a little bit better. I just think it lends itself to a little bit of a craziness, and it's just worth the wait if your ideas about enhancing your daughter's life and building her confidence and self-esteem, it's so much worth the wait to allow them to grow up a little bit more and then enter them into a true educational format as far as a pageant that offers all the great benefits and most of the well-recognized ones, of course, really do. So I just wanted you to share your thoughts on that. Let's talk about your new queen and her life. She's a pretty amazing young woman. Miss Amanda McCoy.
Yes.
Tell everybody about her who may not know.
Well, Amanda actually hails from North Carolina. She attends University of North Carolina at Charlotte. And she's a phenomenal young woman. But as I said, all of our young women are. And one of the things I wanted to make sure was that whomever walked away with the crown was able to hit the ground running. So they all were prepared. And so Amanda has hit the ground running. She'll make her first appearance at the Broadway hit show, A Trip to Bountiful. She will be traveling to the motherland as a Goodwill ambassador and have an opportunity to speak and be a sign of hope for young black girls in the diaspora. She'll also be traveling to Europe as well. And she's got a long, busy year ahead of her, but she's really excited. And as I said, she's ready to hit the ground running. She will graduate in May. She's in her senior year, and she's also in communications. But she's just a phenomenal young woman.
So are her aspirations to be in journalism also?
Yes.
As a communications major?
Yes, they are. She is interested in pursuing a career in communications.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So I'm sure she's still pinching herself, and you as the, you know, pageant, quote-unquote, mommy, how often is she calling you to pull her feet back down on the ground?
Well, you know, as I said, again, we actually prepare them for this time. So she was aware that when she wins, that one of the things that we do, we have project management software that we use. So she actually has to check into that daily because I also do a lot of traveling internationally. So she's not always able to reach me, but we're able to communicate effectively and, you know, we're able to when it's significant. She's very independent. She's on top of her game. She has her talking points. She knows what her contract specifically states, and so she's ready. But we talk, but we don't actually talk that frequently because we don't have to. She also has a publicist as well who will schedule her media appearances for her and other events. So it works really, really well, and I'm excited to be working with her over the next year, and also we'll be doing a lot of travel together.
Well, your work is just exciting, girl. Let's just, you know, lay it out there. It really is.
Thank you. I enjoy it, but it's God's work. It really is His work.
What a wonderful work, and what a wonderful, wonderful lifestyle in so, so many ways. There are a few things I want to lay out clearly for people who are interested in perhaps the state pageants and, you know, those opportunities. So let's do the scope of how you go about that. And I want to remind people, too, you've said some really important things about the girls who have entered these pageants. You know, they should not hesitate because they don't think their conditions are right or that they're necessarily in the, you know, quote unquote, right situation. Let's let everybody know what they need to do to reach out for one thing and to put those fears and hesitancies aside because the doors are really wide open.
Mm-hmm. Well, I strongly believe that in order to get that scholarship, you have to apply first, you know. I mean, anytime you have a vision or dream for something, it requires action. And you will not know until you actually, you know, take steps towards, you know, fulfilling that dream or pursuing, you know, that goal. So pageantry offers a lot of opportunities, as I said. It's not just about, you know, competing and winning on stage, but competing and winning in life. And we prepare you to do that. So when you, for example, the first step would be sending in just a bio and a headshot and emailing that to us at recruiter@missblackusa.org. And once we receive that, one of our recruiters will then schedule a call, an interview with you. And as I said, you know, there might be required, if they're coming to your city, for you to have to come and do some type of audition or something of that nature. But that part is really the easy part. It may seem like initially that, oh, my God, I've got to prepare, you know, an interview. And you'd be surprised. Some young women don't have even bios written already. But guess what? And that's something that you should say. Oh, my God, I don't have a bio. Well, wait a minute. If you plan to do X, Y, and Z in the future, what are you waiting for? I mean, you know, you need a bio now. So that right there is a sign that it's time for me to step up my game. And what we're looking for are young women with big aspirations. Not that you're already there, but you have big aspirations because we're going to help you get there. And that's really what it's about. We are looking for potential. And I believe that every young Black girl has potential. So with that said, that means that every single one of you are ready and should be able to say, you know what, I'm ready to walk in my greatness. Let me apply for this opportunity and see what happens.
When you talk about a bio, and I love this, because I know young girls are thinking very often, I know you said that your contestants are coming from various places in life now, but even the girls who may not feel as qualified, let's say, they still have things that they can put in their bio that they may not realize are really good snapshot thoughts about things that they do or have done or been a part of. So I'd like for you to just expound on that a little bit, because being in a play or volunteering at a community event, all of those things play a really important role. And I think what's so exciting is that once you put yourself on paper like that, all those little things, you realize you look mm-hmm. pretty good and you feel
exactly.
pretty good about yourself as well. So if you could share a little bit about those things too. I mean, they really do enhance. But most girls would think, well, I've been at this church, you know, ever since I was a little girl. But yeah, but what are all the things you've done?
Exactly.
As a part of that church and that community that you can say you actually did, you were a part of.
Exactly.
And I'm sure you know of others, too, that can, at school, tons of things.
Mm-hmm. And you hit it on the nail. I mean, like you said, I mean, volunteer activities. I mean, they're things that we just take for granted that we do. I mean, I'll tell you, when I first had someone write my bio, and they asked me all these questions, and I realized it was only at that time that I realized that I had actually completed 100,000 hours of service. I mean, that was crazy to me because we just take it for granted. So you're absolutely right. I mean, you may volunteer in your community. You may have actually passed out, you know, literature for a political campaign, you know. I mean, there's just so many things that we do that we just take for granted. You know, babysitting, I mean, you know, is something, you know, that to be on your bio because it
mm-hmm.
shows that you're good with children.
Right.
You know, there's just so many opportunities and so many activities that we do that we just take for granted and we don't put on there. So I think you hit it on the nail when you talk about school activities. I mean, you don't have to necessarily have, you know, a high GPA. Because we also know that, you know, I mean, that's another issue in our community, you know, testing, you know. Just because we don't test well doesn't mean that, you know, we are not scholarly. So that's a whole other topic. So things like, for example, I'm, you know, captain of my debate club, or, you know, I am a research assistant for my teacher. And it doesn't have to be something that's ongoing. It could be a one-time, you know, a one-time activity.
Exactly.
So there are a number of things. And if you find that, you know what, you feel like you haven't done enough, well, guess what? Now's the time to start. Now is definitely the time to start. And so I always encourage girls to find mentors because mentors, I know you call me, I've got plenty for you to do. You can put on your resume. As a matter of fact, I had a young woman right before we were going to Africa send an email saying to me that, you know, she wanted to apply for a contestant, but it was too late, but she just wanted me to consider her for next year. And I sat there and I looked over her resume, her bio, and I thought, I could use this girl, utilize her skills in Africa, and give her an amazing opportunity to sort of up-level her skills. And, of course, that's just what I did. I called her up. I said, how'd you like to go to Africa for 2 weeks? And I said, and assist with the production. And, of course, you know, she flipped out. But now she has that, and, you know, she's a filmmaker, and she recently actually appeared on CNN talking about the Trayvon Martin case. So you never know what opportunities lie ahead for you, but the first step is actually applying.
Mm-hmm. I just want to reflect a little bit again on that bio, because I know that first step for so many girls has got to be the toughest. And don't let that stop you, because if you look at that, you know, you want to do this and you look at what is being offered through this pageant and you think, I have nothing. Well, spend the next 30 days trying to figure out 3 to 5 things that you could be a part of at your church, at your school, in your community, even if it's only for an hour. You still can put that on your bio that you participated in that, if you're, you know, trying to make sure you have a little bit of glow on that bio when Kieran's team gets it. That's a little something that can help again. And once you put that down on paper, you know, you'll find that you'll love yourself all the more. Well, there's one other thing I want to ask and have you share with us before we start wrapping up. Karen, I know you've got tons and tons of success stories, and what you're doing, I just can't tell you how just proud it makes me to see the dedication that you have put forth, and how with this you're changing lives truly for the better. And is there a success story that maybe, I know you've got many, but maybe comes to your mind that, you know, you'll always remember as something special that you could share with us about a particular young woman?
Wow, I have so many, and I tell you, I get so emotional when I think about success stories, because I can't think about success stories without thinking about, you know, the traumatic events that these young women had to overcome. But I will tell you about one, and this was one of my team queens. She came, it just happened to be, one of her teachers said to her, you know, you should apply for, you know, your state competition to compete. And so, of course, at this particular time, this young woman was going through a very traumatic experience where she was being abused by a family member. And she had very low self-esteem. In fact, she was, you know, when she went to school every day, she because she was being abused, she dressed a certain way, which, of course, made her feel very insecure. But she was at her lowest point that you could ever imagine any teen could be in life. And she said, okay, she'll apply. She was able to apply, and she won. This young woman is very, very talented. And so she came to our national competition, and again, she didn't have the gown that she wanted to wear. She didn't have any of the things, you know, that most girls would want to have coming to a national competition to win. And it what's so amazing about it is that she won the national title. And I tell you, so it just goes to show that, you know, sometimes you don't have to have the most fabulous gown. You don't have to have, you know, the greatest wardrobe. And sometimes you can feel like, you know what, you can feel like you're at your worst or feel like you're just dirt. But I always say, you know, all flowers grow through dirt. So you have to just, as you said, apply, give it your best. And I can tell you, when I say success story, I mean, this young woman there is now a professional recording artist, and she's a teen. And I have taken her all over the world, and so it truly changed her life. But, you know, as I said, when I think about her and think about what she had gone through, the fact that she was even able to walk out on stage just blows me away. And that just says to me that you truly can do anything that you want to do.
It's not how you start.
Exactly. How you finish. That's right. That's right.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you so much. Well, tell girls how to reach out to their various local pageant opportunities and any other information that you feel you can share that will help. And maybe you want to talk about even the different age opportunities as well.
Yes, we have three categories of or age divisions. One is our Princess Program for girls 5 to 10. And, again, that is a strictly a mentoring program, but it does give young girls an opportunity to get out in the community and make appearances. And then we also have a Talented Teen Division, which is only 5 years old, and it's for girls 14 to 17. Of course, if you're in your senior year and you're turning 18, that's fine. But that's our Talented Teen Program. And then we have our Miss Division, which is women 18 to 27. And you can apply by going to our website at www.missblackusa.org, and that's M-I-S-S as in Sam. Or you can just email us your bio and headshot or bio in any photo to recruiter@missblackusa.org.
Fantastic. Well, this has been more than a delight for me, Karen. I appreciate you so much, and God just continue to bless you with enormous success for the work that you've undertaken, because you definitely have found your calling, and boy, that's just it's just amazing. So I wish you so much continued success with everything that you launch out to do. And I want to thank you for being my special guest today. And I'm going to look forward to talking to you more and watching how things continue to roll out with the pageant.
Thank you for having me, Queen. And we will definitely have to have you go with us maybe on our trip to Africa. So you can see
firsthand. All righty, well, I'm ready when you say go.
Okay, sounds wonderful. Again, thank you for having me.
All right, enjoy your day. Talk to you again real soon.
You too, bye-bye.
Well, I want to thank you all, too. What a wonderful, wonderful conversation. If you missed who I was talking with the founder of the Miss Black USA pageant, Karen Arrington, who's taken on her life's work, mission, and purpose to empower the lives of young African-American girls and women across America. I want to say I thank you for taking the time to listen. Tell your friends about Foxology. We air at least once a week on Mondays around 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. Always have some positive, powerful information, inspiration, ideas that I'm going to share with you. So share that with your social media friends, if you would, for me, please. Have an amazing day, and remember, there's a queen in you.